Keith, let me ask you, what's next in, say, interpersonal relationship?
We're going through a period now, first period in the history of the world, where there are a significant number of relationships of men and women in relatively safe environments where they have equal power sexually, emotionally, financially, parentally, and so on. It's creating new kinds of relationship. We're also having significant number of people that are green, teal, and turquoise that are relating with each other. This has never happened before in the history of the world. And so now there's characteristic pathologies that come out of that, and there's characteristic great stuff that comes out of that. We're literally laying down tracks now about what the potential of intimacy is going forward. Integral is a theory that organizes that from pure spirit to pure empiricism. And organized in and integrally informed psychotherapy, we're spiral wizards. Our job is to enter somebody's system, and they have relationships with themselves, and they have relationships with other people, and they have relationships with the spirit. And it's our job to connect with them and to help them be healthy according to their current worldview and help them grow forward. And we can help them grow forward farther because we have a vision of 3, 4, 5, 6 levels beyond where they are.
Right.
Now, on an individual basis, I can kind of confidently do that with pretty much anybody that comes in. I really can't do that culturally because we don't know what cultural change will look like when 10% of the population becomes integral. Something's going to happen. We don't know what it'll... I asked Ken once, what's going to happen when that happens? He said, I don't know. It's never happened before.
Well, I want to know. You can't just leave me here hanging.
Well, culturally, personally, I think Obama was a peak experience of the culture. And then there was a regression, you know, and we're seeing the aftermath of that. But, you know, that's how culture goes, you know, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back.
Yeah.
On a relational level, what I'm seeing, and I've been seeing this for 40 years now, the standards are being raised. I see 18- and 19-year-olds now that have deeper understanding of intimacy than 30- and 40-year-olds did in the 70s and 80s.
I see them too.
And the reason for that is they have more mature parents, better educated, more informed, and they're in a culture that is a less primitive culture and a less violent culture psychologically and physically. I see it in my son. I see it in my daughter. I see it in lots of people of that generation. I'm inspired by them. They're farther along at their age than we were at their age, and so what they're going to do with their kids, hopefully, is continue that process.
Well, and let me just stop you there and just also point out that they're going to live to be 150 or 180.
And boy,
you know.
And so relationships, as you get more sophisticated, require greater authenticity, they require greater transparency, and they require people living according to their values. I have a manuscript that I haven't published yet called 100 Reasons to Not Have a Secret Affair. And I wrote that because God knows I've dealt with thousands of affairs over the last 40 years. But one of the points that I make about that is if you want to have a growing intimacy with your partner, then you have to have fidelity at a certain point, and you have to have authenticity, and you have to have transparency. Because what happens when you lie to someone or cheat on someone is you dissociate, you block off a part of you from the relationship. What that does is it takes the life out of the relationship. And the more mature people are in a relationship, the more intimate they are, the higher frequency they are, the more acutely they feel that. Similarly, relationships, sexual relationships especially, have their own arc of development from lust to infatuation to intimate bonding that have profound effects on how people understand and relate to each other. Understanding that neurobiology and guiding people through that in ways that cause a minimum of harm and a maximum of development and joy and passion is part of what integrally informed psychotherapy is to me and part of what I bring to the table when I'm working with couples and individuals and families. And that's why the neurobiology research is so great. You know, we've got those four zones, the right quadrant zones, to cross-validate a lot of the stuff that has been arising out of the wisdom traditions and the psychotherapy traditions. And that really helps clarify what really works and what doesn't work. Just like Esalen discovered in the late 60s that, you know, people can't have peak experiences of enlightenment and then go home and be different forever. You know, we all understand that. That's given wisdom to all of us now. We go, well, of course not. You know, it takes a long time to change traits. But, you know, that was not generally known, and they really had to struggle to come to that understanding. They had a lot of the heavyweights of the time finally coming to that understanding.
For many, many years, in my early days, I didn't know. I mean, I thought enlightenment was a moment and you were forever changed.
Yeah. I mean,
and I wanted it. I mean, I was a seeker, but that was my understanding of it, my first understanding of it.
That's why we did psychedelics.
Time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's why we did meditation. We did psychedelics. Yeah. That's why we went to the guru, like, you know, hit me on the head and let me. And we did have those peak experiences, and then we felt disappointed. Some people became cynical because they didn't last.
Yeah. But as you say, that's now just known. We bake that into the cake now, and you're saying the next thing is neurobiological.
Well, it's a combination, it's a synthesis of the neurobiological understanding, which, you know, for instance, you know, when you and I are talking about something, our brain pulls up, working memory of our brain, pulls up 10 or 15 points that is relevant to what we're talking about. That's a non-conscious process that comes out of the right hemisphere.
Wow.
Okay. And the way that the right hemisphere gets programmed, interestingly, is slowly. The left hemisphere learns new routines fast, but the right hemisphere learns new routines slowly and is the first responder in specific situations like conversations or something like that. And so the left hemisphere needs to learn a routine and practice it a long time until eventually it becomes a habit in the right hemisphere. Then that becomes a new habit of being. Just as if we absorb a new system deeply enough, our working memory then will pull that system out when we're having the conversation, when we're in the situation. That's how the hemispheres work together. Okay, that was discovered in the 90s by a guy named Melkonen Goldberg. Okay, that's really useful for me when I'm teaching people, and particularly if you're talking to orange people, they love stuff like that, and some green people, because the neurobiological research makes them feel like less failures when they have a seminal insight, but then it takes months or even years to embody it.
Oh, the right hemisphere of the brain, right. Yeah, so the more artistic, spatial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's spatial, it's artistic, but it also, it's linguistic, but it has emotion in language. When I say an emotionally charged word, when I say your name, Jeff, that kind of stuff, your left hemisphere, Wernicke-Broekes, that doesn't light up. Your right hemisphere lights up.
Yeah.
But the language of the right hemisphere is language that's marked by emotional relevance, and emotional relevance is what guides us through the world. But then the ability to observe our emotions and regulate them to social engagement and to a sense of serving the highest good, that organizes all those forces in the human brain. And then if we're in connection with each other, it organizes the intersubjective forces with each other. And what it does is if we do it to serve the highest good, it accelerates development unless we dissociate and block something off, which everybody does every day.
Right. Well, Keith, you should help us figure out how to use this better, this insight.
There you go. Go to my website, drkeithwitt.com, the School of Love. I put the School of Love on my website because I thought, all right, I want something that is understandable to every single worldview. Okay,
yeah.
What's understandable to every single worldview from magenta on up through turquoise is the School of Love.
Yeah.
You know, come here to learn how to love better. And, you know, and that basically that's what Integral's about. It's about learning how to love better.
Yeah, yeah. Even the parts of ourselves and the pain points of our life, the stuff that we're not aware of, what am I missing? Actually, that starts to become interesting because we know that there's something next, and we know that there's more to see. And so we actually take it like 180-degree spin from the previous consciousnesses where we're trying to get away from pain. And we turn towards it.
Yes, and with acceptance. We turn towards it, we know it, we accept it, but we also protect it. We say, look, pain, I know you have destructive impulses, but I'm not going to let those I'm not going to enact those destructive impulses. I'm going to protect you from hurting yourself through this.
Yeah.
And as we do that, our nervous systems and our consciousness, complex system, naturally self-organizes to greater complexity.
Yeah.
The greater complexity is experienced as pleasure in the human body.
Say that again, Keith.
Greater complexity is experienced as pleasure in the body, from our toes to our head. It's pleasure. You know, one thing people don't realize about Integral is it's all about embodying God. feeling the God's pleasure through everything that we do. That gets lost in a lot in the translation. When you make your sadness or your anger or your depression or your anxiety or your whatever an object of awareness, and Ken's been saying this forever, you know, once you make it an object of awareness, then you're not identified with it, then things are possible. Okay?
Yeah.
As we make it an object of awareness, the part of us that's aware of it is a deeper, wiser part.
Yeah.
Okay. And then connecting those differentiated parts gives our nervous system, gives our consciousness a chance to organize.
Well, and I love how you refer to it absolutely correctly as it self-organizes.
Yeah.
All we have to do in a way is see it.
See it and care for it.
And care for it.
You know, it has to be cared.
And be friendly to it and welcome it in a certain way.
Because, you know, Jeff, development is, human development, social development, comes out of a context of social approval and disapproval. Social approval and disapproval translates into, if I get disapproved of by you, I develop a shame emotion of some sort and a tendency to block myself away from that thing that you disapprove of, or to get pissed off at you because you're disapproving of me. You know, there's a shame humiliation, you know, loop. This is a neurological tendency of human nervous systems. So if I'm not aware of those forces in my body, then I basically become a tool of those forces in certain situations.
Yeah.
If I can make them an object of awareness, then, like you said, you can observe with interest when those kinds of cycles are happening, and you can look when you don't want to look at some part
yeah.
of yourself, and you can
feel
what you don't want to feel, and accept and care for what you don't want to accept and care
yeah.
for.
Yeah, and that's why integral is theory of love. I mean, it really does
yeah.
enable us to see more clearly, more in more resolution,
yeah,
with more texture, ourselves and each other. The space between us.
Yes.
And by doing so, we just naturally care and let it in, right?
And that's all enacted through fields. You know, the subatomic fields that organize up through us, through neural networks, which are essentially fields, through the intersubjective fields that you and I and other people have, the interior fields that we direct with consciousness and with habits. And so
yeah.
that's why I say, you know, integral is a unified field theory of love. Because you put it all together, and that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, Keith, good work, man.
Good work yourself.
Well, it's so good to share all of this and figure it out and work with it. Again, thank you for coming to the conference.
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
We're
going to
hear a TED-style 18-minute blast from you.
I am really stoked about that.
Cool, man. All right. I'll talk to you later. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
You bet. Next
okay,
time. Bye-bye.